and wisdom and light is found in you. Mercifully enlighten us by your Holy Spirit in the true understanding of your word, and give us grace to receive it in true fear and humility. May we be taught by your word to place our trust only in you and to serve and honor you as we ought, so that we may glorify your holy name in all our living and edify our neighbors by our good example. Since it has pleased you to receive us among the number of your servants and children, may we render to you the love and obedience which faithful servants owe their masters, and children their parents. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This last Sunday in October is observed in many Protestant churches as Reformation Sunday. It is a day to give thanks to God for the great Back to the Bible movement of the 16th century that historians today call the Protestant Reformation. What was the Protestant Reformation? Well, the Protestant Reformation was the fruit of the three great searches of humankind throughout history, and in every country and culture, human beings have engaged in three great searches: the search for truth, the search for peace, and the search for meaning. The search for truth asks the question, how can I know what is true, and how can I be sure that it is true? The search for peace asks, where can we find peace? Peace with God, and peace with one another, and peace in our hearts. And the search for meaning asks, why do we exist? What is our reason for living? And the reformers of the 16th century looked to the Bible for answers to these three great searches. And the answers of the Reformation are summed up in the five great solas which were mentioned earlier. Sola Scriptura, the Scriptures alone. Sola Gratia, grace alone. Sola Fide, faith alone. Solus Christus, Christ alone. And Soli Deo Gloria, to the glory of God alone. To the first question, how can we know what is true? The Reformation answered, in the Scriptures alone. To the second question, where can we find peace? The Reformation answered, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And to the third question, why do we exist? The Reformation answered, for the glory of God alone. This afternoon, we can't look at the Reformation's answers to all those three questions. And I want to look at the answer of the Reformation to the second of them. Where can we find peace? In every place and in every age, human beings have sought to live in harmony with one another, in harmony with nature, and in harmony with themselves. But for the most part, the search has been utterly fruitless. We seem incapable of living in harmony with one another. For example, according to the Polynational War Memorial website, in the 113 years since 1900, our world has seen no fewer than 249 wars. And they define a war as an armed conflict in which more than 1,000 people have died. In some of those armed conflicts, hundreds of thousands have died. It seems we cannot even live in peace with those we should love the most. According to the My Divorce website, in Australia, the divorce rate is 1 in 3. That is, one marriage in three ends in divorce. That's the marriages, not the informal relationships. And we struggle too to live in peace with ourselves. Towards the end of his life, the great British philosopher and mathematician Bertrand Russell, who was awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1950, wrote these words, words that are echoed in many hearts. Through the long years I sought peace. I found ecstasy. I found anguish. I found madness. I found loneliness. I found the solitary pain that gnaws the heart. But peace I did not find. The goal of the three great religions of China, you know the three great religions of China, Confucianism, Taoism, and Buddhism. The goal of the three great religions of China is peace or harmony. The goal of Confucianism is to live in harmony with one another. The goal of Taoism is to live in harmony with nature. The goal of Buddhism is to live in harmony with oneself. The history of China testifies to the failure of those three great religions. For the Bible teaches we cannot live in harmony with one another. We cannot live in harmony with nature. And we cannot live in harmony with ourselves unless we are living in harmony with God. Our first and our greatest need is peace with God. And here is our basic problem. We are not living in peace, in harmony with God. Indeed, we are at war with God. The lack of harmony in society, in nature, and in our hearts are all the result of a deeper problem. We are not at peace with God. It was one man's search for peace with God that sparked the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. In 1505, a 21-year-old student by the name of Martin Luther left his university studies, much to the anger of his father, to become a monk in the Augustinian friary in the German town of Erfurt. Martin Luther was desperately seeking peace with God, and as a monk he devoted himself to long hours of fasting and prayer, of pilgrimage and frequent confession. He would later remark, "If anyone could have gained heaven by monkery, then I would certainly have done so." But peace eluded him. He found only despair. He said, "I lost touch with Christ, the Saviour and Comforter, and made him the jailer and hangman of his soul." He knew he was still at war with God and his Christ. Then in 1515, he was lecturing in the University of Wittenberg on the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Romans. And it was as he lectured he found peace. As he prepared his lectures and wrestled with Paul's letters, he saw for the first time the truth of the gospel. That we are justified not by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ. And his heart at last was set free. He later wrote, "I felt myself to have been reborn and to have gone through open doors into paradise." Now we can't look this morning at all of Paul's letter to the Romans. I want to concentrate, to focus on one verse. A verse which goes to the heart of the letter. It's Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because, writes Paul, because to Christians, writing as a Christian to Christians in Rome, he says, because we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have been justified. This word justified brings us to the heart of the matter. Martin Luther described Paul's teaching on justification in these words. He said, this is the truth of the gospel. It is the principal article of all Christian doctrine wherein the knowledge of all godliness consists. Most necessary it is therefore that we should know this article well, teach it unto others, and beat it into their heads continually. It's an important doctrine. It's an important doctrine to understand if we want to have peace with God. The word justify is not a difficult word. It's an easy word. It's a legal word, and it comes from the law courts. It describes what a judge does or can do at the end of a trial. If a person is charged with an offence, after all the evidence has been heard and weighed, the judge pronounces his verdict. Either he finds him guilty and sentences him, or he finds him not guilty and releases him. If the person is found guilty and sentenced, we say he is condemned. If the person is found not guilty and released, we say he is justified. To justify then is the opposite of to condemn. To justify simply means to declare someone not guilty and to set them free. Now the Bible teaches us that God is the judge of all the earth and that we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Great and small. Barack Obama will. SBY will. I will. You will. All of us will stand before the judgment seat of God. And it was the knowledge of this truth that terrified Martin Luther. He knew that one day he must face God. And he knew that on that day he deserved to be condemned. And this is not only Martin Luther's problem, it's our problem too. Because of our sins, we are all under the judgment of God. The lack of harmony in society, in nature, and in our hearts are all the result of a deeper problem. And that deeper problem is rebellion against God. This rebellion against God is what the Bible calls sin. S-I-N. The big I in the middle. Living for me instead of for God. Making myself my God. We have rejected God's way and chosen to go our own way. We will not have God rule over us. We insist upon ruling ourselves. We have rebelled against God. We demand self-rule. We at war are against God. That is, in the language of the Bible, we are sinners. And because we are sinners, we deserve to be condemned by God. Yet, says Paul, we are justified. The judge of all the earth has already judged us. He has already pronounced his verdict upon us. And the wonder is that he has not condemned us. He has justified us. He has declared us not guilty. But how can this be? I have broken God's law. I have lived my way instead of his way. I have served myself instead of him. How can a righteous God declare me a lawbreaker and a rebel to be not guilty, to be in the right? How can God justify sinners? Well, Paul says, because we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been justified by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It was this discovery that set Martin Luther free from his fear and his despair. He thought that he could be justified by obeying God's law, but he discovered that the way of the law resulted only in condemnation and ultimately death. The law of God is righteous and good, but we have not kept it. Luther wrote, "The law is divine and holy. Let the law have its glory. Yet no law, be it ever so divine and holy, can teach me that I am justified and shall live through it. I grant it, the law of God may teach me that I ought to love God and my neighbour, also to live in chastity, soberness, patience, etc. But it ought not to show me how I should be delivered from sin, the devil, death and hell. Here I must take counsel of the gospel. I must listen to the gospel, which teaches not what I ought to do, for that is the proper office of the law, but what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has done for me. That is to say, he suffered and died to deliver me from sin and death." You see, we're not justified. We cannot be justified by anything we have ever done or ever will do, but only by what Christ has done for us. We have lived lives of selfishness and sin. He lived a life of perfect and joyful submission to God his Father. We deserve to be condemned and to die for our sins. He was condemned and died for sins, though he never sinned. Why then did he die? Why then was he punished by God? He died for our sins, for my sins. If you trust in him, for your sins. As the prophet Isaiah put it 2,700 years ago, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Then, on the third day, he rose again from the dead, victor over sin and death, and he now rules from heaven as King of kings and Lord of lords, and he calls on us to cease our rebellion, lay down our arms, and surrender to him. And this surrendering of Jesus is what the Bible calls faith. "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Lord, I cannot save myself. you must save me. I throw myself on you. I entrust myself to you. I commit myself to you. That is what we mean by faith. It's not faith in faith. It's faith in Christ. I quote Martin Luther once again. There are two kinds of believing. Two kinds of believing. First, a believing about God, which means that I believe what is said about God is true. This believing is a form of knowledge rather than faith, writes Luther. There is, secondly, a believing in God, which means, says Luther, I put my trust in him. Such a faith throws itself upon God. And when we throw ourselves upon God, he is pleased to receive us, to welcome us, to justify us, because of what Christ has done for us. This is the faith that saves, and this is the faith that gives us peace with God. And it's when we have peace with God that we can have peace with one another and peace in our hearts. So the Apostle Paul writes to the young Christian church in Rome, and also to us today who believe in Christ, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But what's this mean for you and for me as we go from church on Sunday back into the world on Monday? How does knowing we have been justified help us as we deal with the news that we have terminal cancer, or as we endure the constant criticism of a difficult boss, or as we worry about a son who is in trouble with the law? How can we know God's peace when we are laid off work at the age of 50, or when we struggle daily with a chronic mental illness, or when our daughter breaks the news that her husband has left her? In this fallen world, trouble is the normal human condition. And as Christians, we are not spared the trouble that others face. These trials are common to all of us. We all face disappointments and frustrations and discouragements. We all suffer illness and accidents and setbacks. And at times these things can get us down and cause us to become downhearted and despondent. And at such times we need to remind ourselves of the gospel and of where we stand with God. That is, we need to exercise our faith. We are Christians. We live by faith, not by sight. And faith is a telescope. It enables us to see beyond our immediate circumstances to Christ, seated at the right hand of God. And when the naked eye can see only trials and troubles and storm and tempest and weariness and pain and barrenness and hopelessness, faith sees rescue and victory and rest and peace and God and glory. Let me tell you, to finish, the story of H.G. Spafford. H.G. Spafford lived in Chicago in the United States in the 19th century. He was a successful and wealthy attorney, happily married with four daughters. One summer it was decided that his wife and girls would tour Europe and visit the great cities and art museums of that continent. When the time came, H.G. Spafford accompanied his wife and daughters to New York to see them safely on board the ship. He did not know that it was the last he would see of his daughters. In mid-Atlantic, their ship collided with another and sank within minutes. His wife was rescued and taken to France, but all four daughters drowned. But that was not all. Not long after his family left for Europe, there was a bank crash in Chicago. And in this bank crash, H.G. Spafford lost all his savings, all that he had. In one day, he went from being a very rich man to being a very poor one. And then came a cable from his wife in France. All is lost. I alone remain. What shall I do? Within days, this poor man had lost all his money and all his children. What could he do? Well, H.G. Spafford was a Christian, and he did what a Christian must always do in time of distress. He reminded himself of what God had done for him in Christ. He reminded himself of where he stood with God. He reminded himself of the gospel. He sat down, he took up his pen, and he wrote. And these are the words he wrote. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, haste the day when our faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trumpet shall sound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Are you a Christian? Then it is well with your soul. Do not let your heart be troubled. It is well with your soul. Do not be afraid of the future. It is well with your soul. Do not let circumstances get you down. It is well with your soul. Do not let the evil one discourage you. It is well with your soul. Christian man, Christian woman, Christian young person, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God loves you and accepts you and smiles upon you. Christian, whatever your circumstances, it is well with your soul. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ronujen, for bringing the Word of God for us. Very encouraging message. Peace with God. Now we will sing a hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. Please be standing. Thank you.
like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roar, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. With my soul.